All right, now it is time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who joins us here now in the studio from the Chapel Hill Public Library, which is really busy this week because we got the Friends of the Library's big book sale coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which we've been talking about a little bit already this week, but we'll talk about it a lot more now. How are you?
I am happy and tired.
Awesome.
How
that
are you?
That seems to be the running thing, because we had Victor and AJ here in the studio last hour for Kids Q, and they were dragging. Like, it's 3:30. Everyone is, you know, everyone's had such a long day at work. Meanwhile, I don't start work until 3. So I come in at like 2. I get ready to go on the air. And then at 3 o'clock, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You
and
are, man.
Like, let's go, America.
And I'm like slumped over by the microphone here. And you're bouncing to the music. So I will
say, how can you not bounce to that music,
know.
Though?
I'm happy because of this weather, right?
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
It's like this really feels like spring. And then I'm tired. And this is going to sound so like corny and cliche, and like I'm setting up shameless
corny and cliche is what we are all about.
Well, so spring is great, but spring, I get tired just thinking about all the things that are coming with the library and my staff and this community. Like, this is prime planning time. So
right.
We are working on planning, like gearing up for summer, planning for spring event season. I'm like, I'm so happy it's spring. It's like, oh boy, after spring comes summer, and I'm just tired just even thinking about it.
Yeah. It's all
but
good,
that's a
though.
Good problem to
it's
have, a,
it's
right?
tired, but it's a good tired.
It's like, this is turning into therapy on the radio.
What else is this show for? This is
go.
To help get you through the day. This is to help get you through like those last couple of hours where you're dragging, you want to go home, but you can't yet.
Right.
That's what we're here for, is to get you
tune
through those last couple
of hours.
Tune in and power
through.
Oh, I love that.
There you go, yeah.
Tune in and power through with the Aaron Keck Show. Are you having a bad day? I will make it a little bit better.
So, yeah, library's hopping, man.
Yeah.
We were really busy last week with spring break, and this week we're still busy. I love it. Today I came in a little bit late, and there are some days when I come in late. Often Tuesday, Wednesdays, or Thursdays this happens. If you come in at just the right time, you get the just joyful experience of all the story time kids are coming through the parking lot. Like, they're all, like, they're with their moms, their dads, their grandmas, their caregivers, and they're like, get me out of the car fast because I've got to get into the building. And you walk in with these streams of toddlers who are so excited to be going into that building. And so that was how I started my day, and it was
that's
awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That explains why you're dragging now, because that's like the high point of your day.
Exactly.
And it's the first thing that happens.
That's
it's
right.
All downhill from there.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot going on. We've got a lot of things coming up. I do want to put a plug in, and maybe I'll bring somebody next week. This month is the North Carolina Science Festival.
Yes.
So the Moorhead is a big player in that. This is a statewide there's the statewide science festival. Mm-hmm. And then next Friday, the 12th, is the statewide star party, and the library for the second year is hosting a star party, and it is amazing.
Oh, is that the big blow-up planetarium?
No, we did that in the winter.
Okay.
This is outdoors, so we'll have telescopes.
Okay.
We'll have some people talking about moon landings.
Ooh.
We're going to be writing moon haikus. Like, hundreds and hundreds of people came last year. So
nice.
That's next week. So that's one of the things that we're planning for. The circulator is out and about. We'll be at the Science Expo this weekend. We'll be at some other downtown events. So we're hopping, man.
Awesome. So you mentioned the Science Expo. That's Saturday, right?
That is this Saturday.
Yep.
Yes.
That's a huge event on Cameron, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the circulator will be there. Some of the community arts and culture staff will be there. We're a partner on both sides of that coin there. So, yeah, that's Saturday. It's all up and down Cameron Avenue. It's
yep.
really fun. Last year, I stopped by to check on my circulator folks, and there were, like, these giant dinosaur costume people.
Yes.
Do you know those people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, running around and, like, playing ping pong or something.
Like,
I don't know.
Science demonstrations going
oh, yeah.
on, like hands-on stuff and some performances on a
it's
stage
really fun.
And food trucks because, of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
Food trucks, sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's
snow
super
cones,
fun.
Probably.
Yeah, probably snow cones.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
going to
be hot enough for
yeah.
that. And then the big book sale, which is
yeah.
starting on Friday, right?
Holy cow.
Yeah.
It's that time again. Yeah. So,
it seems like they just had a big book sale. I know it's every quarter, right? They do it. Or
they do three
a year, but it
so
was just 3 months ago.
Early December, early April, and then I think early September. So it's
right?
actually the September and the December ones feel really close together.
Yeah.
But from April to September, this is our long dry spell.
Yeah.
So we're about to enter the long summer of no book sales. So come and get your books. It starts this Friday at what time? Friday during the day. Well, Friday is members only.
Right.
So let me check the times.
From
yes.
3 to 5.
3 to 5:30.
Yep.
Friends members only. And then this Friday night is the, I think now, third very popular Sip and Shop after hours shopping experience, as they call it. So if you are currently a member of the Friends, you and a companion can come from 7 till 9, drink wine, nosh on delicious nibbles, both sweet and savory, and shop the sale before it opens to the public. But Aaron, what if you're not a friend?
Well, I don't know.
You might
know.
Be thinking.
What
you
then?
You might be thinking, what if you're not a friend?
What if you're not?
You can become a friend. So
oh,
for $25, if you are not a friend, $25 for you and a friend at the door gets you into the event and gets you a year-long Friends membership, which is a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, this is only the third one they've done, but even from the get-go, it's just really popular.
Yeah.
So a couple hundred people come. It's really, really fun. Families come. It's not just like an adults only thing. Yeah, it's a super fun
event. It's a really cool vibe, too, because you're there. There's a couple hundred people, like you said, but everyone who is there is a book lover. So
yeah.
You're there, you're browsing the stacks, you're finding these really cool books that you didn't think that you would find or would want, and you're walking out with like stacks of these awesome books. But you're also there like mingling with people and talking to them about your mutual love of books, and it's great.
And you also like can just like go up like, what are you buying? Mm-hmm. And like be super nosy and like look at people's stacks of books, and people talk to you about it.
Yeah.
They don't like smack you and tell you to go away.
And then if you see something that you like that someone has taken, you can say, oh, that's really good. Hey, look over there. And
right. Let me give you a glass of wine.
Oh,
and
that
then
works.
They have to
yes.
give you the book. Like, hang
right.
on, hold my book for me. I'd be happy to. And then you run off
and
with the book.
And then that's it. Yep. Sip and shop.
So after the sip and shop, the friends go home, get a couple hours of sleep, and then they all come back on Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday is when the sale is open to the public,
mm-hmm.
But it's really easy to become a member on Friday. It's open to the public 10 till 5:30 on Saturday, and then Sunday is bag sale. Right. I kind of want to do the wrestling voice.
Bag sale.
No,
oh, you wanted to
like
do Sunday.
The monster truck.
Sunday.
At the Chapel Hill Public Library.
Library.
One day only. Bring your own bag.
Books are popping.
Anyway, Sunday is bag sale day. This show is falling apart. $5. You can fill up a bag. They will have some bags there. They love it if you bring your own bags. And people, that's the other thing. So I talked about, I love coming into work with the toddler story time kids. I love Sunday when I drive up Library Drive and there are just people streaming out, arms like weighted down with brown paper bags full of books. It's awesome. So what that tells you is there's still lots of good stuff on Sunday.
Very cool.
Yes.
So all of that is this weekend. Again, 3 to 5 on Friday for members. 3 to 5:30 for members on Friday. Sip and Shop beginning at 7 o'clock on Friday night. And then open to everyone 10 to 5:30 on Saturday, 11 to 3 on Sunday for the bag sale, which is super fun. So speaking with Susan Brown, talking books, what are we going to recommend this week?
Okay. I have three nonfiction books that I thought of because our prompt was the Friends sale, the Sip and Shop, all of this. So the first one I thought of, and this is a book that my husband and I have actually bought twice. It's one of those books where it's like, do I have this book? I love this book. I'm not sure if I still have it. One of those times we actually bought it at the Friends sale.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a book, I'm going to get so meta here. It's called Living with Books. And it's a design household, house and home book. So if you go to the Friends sale and you buy bags and bags and bags of books, you get home and it's like, how am I going to live with all these books? Well, turn to the book called Living with Books, and it's full of gorgeous photos of bookshelves, really interesting and creative book storage systems, all kinds of things. So it's less about beautiful, unachievable libraries right. or like book collections and more about like, oh, there's a really cool thing that I could do in my house to store my books.
This is like the anti-Marie Kondo. I love it.
Yes, yeah. exactly. Buy more books.
Buy more
and
books.
Then buy this
Here
book.
Are great ways of storing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I like it.
It's a great book. It's called Living with Books by Alan Powers.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to recommend one that I think I've recommended before, but it's worth recommending again. So I thought about the prompt as being focusing on books. So all of mine are books about mm-hmm. books or books about libraries. First one, which is one of my all-time favorite nonfiction works, is Azar Nafisi's reading Lolita in Tehran.
Such a good book.
It's so good. And, it's not just the narrative and the class that she's teaching and the experience that they're all going through. You also learn a lot about the books that they're reading, too. Like, you read Lolita in a different way
right.
after you read that chapter. You read these books in different ways after you read about this group of women in Iran meeting in a book club that is a little, not secretive really, but there's a little bit of secretness about
secretive.
It.
It's pretty
secretive, yeah. And reading all of these great works of literature that they otherwise wouldn't even be allowed to read or have access to. And it's about the lives that they live and their families and the situation in Iran, and also Nafisi, who is just a fascinating person in her own right, living in Tehran and teaching this class. So it's a great book for so many reasons.
It is.
Yeah.
So that's a great segue into the next book that I'm going to recommend, because this is a book about books.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually have a colleague who, and I know a couple people that do this with different books. They will go whenever they see a certain book. Like, I have a friend that does this for Huck Finn. Whatever copy of the book, if they see it, they buy it, because they are collecting different covers, different editions, especially the cover art. So I have a colleague who always buys a copy of Lolita, and he's got like 18 different copies of it with very different covers, which is kind of a weird book to do that with.
This entire episode of this segment uh-huh. is the anti-Marie Kondo, isn't it?
Exactly. That's right.
Go out and buy every
right.
single copy of a book that you can.
Yes.
But Lolita, like, yeah, a little bit odd, but I can imagine a whole bunch of different really cool covers
There's
for that.
So
book,
cool.
right? Yeah.
And I have another colleague that does the same thing for Catch 22.
Yes.
So I have a little bit of that. I don't do it really officially or formally, but I have a little bit of that with Jane Austen.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized recently, and I think I actually bought this at a friend sale too, that I don't have to go out and buy all of the books, because somebody, in fact, the person's name is, I think, Margaret Collins, came out with a book a couple years ago called Austen Cover to Cover, and it's like a coffee table book of a history of all of the cover art of Jane Austen's books. It is so good. You just flip through it, and it's like, here's the weird 70s paperback version of Elizabeth Bennet, or here's like the 1920s kind of gothic one. It's so good. So there's a market there of these books of a singular author or a book and all the covers.
I also love the fact that we live in a world that has enough people in it where whatever your interest is, no matter how specific or niche it is, not only are there other people who share that exact same interest, but there are other people who are so much more obsessed with it
yes.
than you that they've devoted their entire lives to it, right? Like,
yes.
I published a book about this, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I thought I was kind of nerdy about Jane Austen. I'm like, no, I am not.
Not even on the level.
And sorry,
yeah.
the author's name is Margaret Sullivan, and it's called Jane Austen Cover to Cover, 200 Years of Classic Book Covers. Mm. If you like Jane Austen, it's fabulous.
Which reminds me of Grady Hendrix's book. He
Paperbacks
was talking
from
about
Hell, yes.
Paperbacks from Hell, which talks about the book and the covers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just saw, I've been meaning to reach out to him. I was walking by the new bookshelf, and I forget the name of it, but the same publisher, and it must be inspired by Grady's book, has done a history of 70s or 80s and 90s teen YA, like girls,
nice.
Teen girl
yes.
fiction, like Sweet Valley High and Judy Blume, and it's very similar.
You've seen the website where they take those covers and they give them different ridiculous
yes.
titles. Yeah,
yes.
okay, just making sure, just
yes.
making sure. So my next recommendation is going to be a book about books, which is Roald Dahl's Matilda. Because not only is it a great book, I don't know if it's the best book he ever wrote, but it's up there, right? I don't know what's a better Roald Dahl book than Matilda. He's got a couple of got a couple of entries into that This Is the Best Roald Dahl Book contest, but Matilda's definitely one of the best, if not the best. But one of the things that I got from it, over and above just the fantastic story and the characters and everything, was the list of books that she reads in the library when she discovers the library for the first time and the librarian falls in love with her and recommends a whole bunch of things. I began to make it my mission to work through that list. Make it through that list at all, because I started with The Old Man and the Sea, and that is not a good place to start.
Yeah, no, that's like your 8th or 10th book. That's not your first book.
If even.
But that's such a great part of that book,
too. Yeah, it's super fun.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's my number two.
Okay, I've got one more. It's another nonfiction book, and I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the types of folks that come to the book sale, and people come for all 3 days. Many people come and shop all 3 days. I'm married to one such person. Mm-hmm. I thought, those are the type of people that might love to live in a town of about 1,500 people where there are over 40 bookstores. Just think about that for a minute. A town with a population of 1,500, and yet per capita, or in that town, there are 40 bookstores. And it's a little town. It's a Welsh town called Hay-on-Wye. And it's very famous in the book world. And a writer from McSweeney's, he picked up his family. They were living in San Francisco, and he moved there. And he spent, I think he might still be there, I'm not sure. The book's been out for probably 6 or 8 years, but he wrote this book about sort of like Peter Mayle and the Provence books. It's a book about life in this, like, in the most bookish of all towns. So you get everything about the book trade, but also the differences in the U.S. and Britain, and it's a fabulous book. And I did not mention the title. The title is called Sixpence House, Lost in a Town of Books, and nice. It's fabulous.
Who's it by?
Paul Collins.
You got to be a certain level of bookishness to move away from San Francisco because it's not a literary enough town, right?
With great bookstores,
with
right?
With no great bookstores in this town. Get out of here, Ferlinghetti. Awesome. So my last one is one that I just read a couple of months ago. It's called The Strange Library by Haruki Murakami.
Oh, I love Murakami. Matt Laddick was talking about him.
Yeah. He's fantastic. And The Strange Library is a very wild and very fast read. Like, you can read it in an hour. It's a really interesting put together book. Like, you open it top and bottom, and then the pages flip in really interesting ways. And the font and the way that the words are all laid out. It's a really visually interesting book, but the story is fascinating. It's about this kid who goes to the library, and he just sort of gets trapped in this library that is also a labyrinth and a dungeon, and he has to fight his way out with the help of this weird cast of characters, and it just gets increasingly strange and uncanny as you get further and further and deeper into this very short, like, 80-page story.
Oh, wow.
That's fascinating. And he apparently, that's the only Murakami that I've written, but apparently that's his shtick. Like, that's how he writes, and it's fantastic.
He's a fabulous writer, and that's not one that I know, so I am going to go check that out.
Awesome. And that is Talking Books for this week. Again, big book sale this Friday from 3 to 5:30 for members, and then for everyone, Saturday from 10 to 5:30, Sunday from 11 to 3 for the bag sale, and Sip and Shop Friday night at 7 o'clock. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.